It was several years back when my children were really, really young. Marianne is 24 now. She was, couldn't have been five. So it's a ways back. Our family went camping with some other friends who also had young children. Come to think of it, I just did a wedding for one of those young children this summer. That's how long it's been. We all cooked outdoors, we swam in the lake, we went hiking, and of course we had campfires, at least one campfire. And I love campfires. Can I get a amen to campfires? Third, any time of year, I don't care when it is. Hot summer, cool fall, winter, campfires are great. And this particular campfire was really memorable. There seemed to be this who can make the campfire better rivalry going on with a couple of the campers who shall remain nameless. It was all friendly, but you could still see that both of them were very competitive at how it was going. And I wasn't one of the competitors, so you can remove my name from that list. But anyway, one of the competitors was stoking the fire and a hot coal popped out like a piece of popcorn comes out of a pan. The burning coal landed right at the part of the shoe where the fabric meets the ankle and dropped in. The look of pain on the face of the one who was wearing said shoe, it was obvious. And the necessary words they uttered while jumping and trying to remove the coal were creative in a how many ways can you combine profanity to get through excruciating pain way. I mean, it just take every profanity you can think of and put them all together in no sense at all, but that's what they said. Nowadays, I think of Mark Twain's quote that says, under certain circumstances, urgent circumstances, desperate circumstances, profanity provides a relief denied even to prayer. Put that one in your program, Dad, right? Yes. No? Having burning coals lodged between your shoe fabric and your bare ankle is painful. Every time I see those friends, we talk about the still visible ankle scar from that memorable campfire. Now, I am sure that most folks can put together a pretty creative string of cuss words when they are in pain. Some of the words from that night even sounded like prayer words. They weren't, but they had, you know, that ring. But, you know, my friend never acted unkind. We all helped clean the wound and bandage it, and the rest of the camp out was still fun. The words that he said helped provide relief, pain relief, and they weren't directed at anyone. They were just a way to communicate, ow. And to help a body release some pain-relieving adrenaline or something like that. And you know, Penn and Teller, the magicians who did a program on Showtime that it was called something else, but it meant malarkey. Anyway, they did an experiment on real people, and they had them put their hand in ice-cold water. And one group of people could leave their hand as long as they could, but they couldn't say anything. Another group could put their hand in, and they could say whatever they wanted so long as they didn't use profanity. And then a third group could put their hand in there, and they could say whatever they wanted, including profanity. And guess which group could hold their hand in the cold water longest? The Mark Twain group. Yeah. Pain hurts. And you know, it's nice to know that when you're in pain that somebody cares, like someone who will dress that wound later. And that's a theme that's similar in sentiment to today's Bible reading. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Love one another with mutual affection. Live in harmony with each other. Try to outdo each other in doing good. I love that. And remember that you're no better or worse than anyone else. And we may not always follow the words, but they're really good words. I think if we would all strive to live them, everything would be better. It wouldn't be perfect, but it would be better. That's the good stuff in the reading. There's some hard stuff in the reading too. Don't repay evil for evil. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. If your enemy is hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. And I think that we strive for those things too, but we do live in a world and we act in accordance all too often, or maybe all the time, I don't know. But in the world, our world is this. It's, I'll get you back. How dare you say that? And I guess we'll have to bomb you to make you listen. That's where we are. They're the followed rules. We live in a world where blame shifting and character assassination take the place of listening and healing all the time. And that doesn't match with this not repaying evil for evil or blessing those who persecute you words from this morning's Bible reading. It doesn't match with giving the hungry and thirsty an enemy food and water. And then there's that bit at the end. By doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Not between their shoe and their ankle, but on their heads. Startling, unnerving, profanity-inducing kindness that changes relationships. Giving a hungry and thirsty enemy food and water is similar to what Abraham Lincoln said when he said, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" Or I heard this from a seventh grader just a few years ago. We were talking about enemies and friends and adversaries and allies. And he simply just looked at me and said, "If we love our enemies, then how are they enemies?" That's a great thought. Today's Bible reading is filled with many great thoughts. So many, in fact, that I thought we should have another way to remember it. So, earlier in the week, I wrote a Dr. Seuss poem. None of you saw it. Unless you could go to my blog and see it. It was called "Kindly Words That Are Just Not Absurd." And one of my minister friends wrote me and said, "Hey, does this have music? Because if it does, I want to write the choral arrangement for it." And I said, "No, it doesn't have music." But then, of course, I started thinking, why not put this to music? And I couldn't make the bouncy Dr. Seuss stuff come to life with music. So I tried a few different tunes here and there and finally came up with something that sounds more Heartland. You know, like a bad imitation of John Mellencamp, something like that. So I'm going to sing that as part of the sermon, but I need some help with that. Is that anybody drum? Anybody ever play in a rock band? Who maybe can keep a four beat on a box? Yeah, I think he can. Kevin, could you come up here? And anybody happen to be like married to each other and one of them works here and they could maybe sing backing vocals that they haven't learned yet? Because there's some backing vocals in here. Kevin, there's a box drum behind there. So I'm going to give you this part right there. And what you're going to end up doing, there's two parts to this harmony that you have to do on backing vocals. And all you have to do is say, "No matter what." We have to sing it. Yeah, so. Na, 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 no matter what, no matter what. And then, no matter what. Or you can do the bass. No matter what. Well, let's try that. Let's see. Na, 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 no matter what. Okay, maybe you sing the bass. No matter what. And you go, no matter what. And come right here to the microphone there, because we got to hear you. Okay. Na, 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 no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. That'll work, just like that. We'll have the end closer to the microphone, though, because you sing quieter. And then, Kevin, it's... na, 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 na. Oh, sit down, and this is the drum. And you have a snare. You got one side's a snare. Well, let's get the snare going. There, you got. There, you got it? You're feeling it? Okay. Now I got to get words to this song because I don't remember them. It's all based on Romans 12. Go ahead, right there. Feeling good, Kevin? Yeah. Anyone have a camera on their phone? Kevin, come around here and sit here because you should probably take a picture of this. Keep your love real, not fake or pretend. Hold on to what's good and make a new friend. Have a contest about being nice to each other. Serve well and work hard for a sister and a brother. We're not better or worse. There's no sense keeping score. Make friends with folks others tend to ignore. Take this advice, my friends. Don't you get into a rut. Find a way to do good no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Be happy in hope. And when bad's in the way, listen and pray, and listen and pray. When folks are so nasty, you bless them forever. Stay away from a plan to hurt anyone ever. We're not better or worse. There's no sense keeping score. Make friends with folks others tend to ignore. Take this advice, my friends, and don't you get into a rut. Find a way to do good no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
When smiles are around, you smile too, really try. And when the tears are flowing, it's okay to cry. When folks, do your best to be kind and gentle and pleasant. Don't try to get back at someone who isn't. We're not better or worse. There's no sense keeping score. Make friends with folks others tend to ignore. Take this advice, my friend, and don't you get into a rut. Find a way to do good no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
If you're nice to an enemy, given food or a drink, it will first turn them mad, but then happy, I think. Keep your love real, not fake or pretend. Hold on to what's good and make a new friend. When not better or worse, there's no sense keeping score. Make friends with folks others tend to ignore. Take this advice, my friend, and don't you get into a rut. Find a way to do good no matter what.
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 Thank you. Amen. Excellent job, all three of you, with no rehearsal, without even knowing what I was going to do. That's spontaneous fun. No matter what. So be nice. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.